T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You learn the darndest things at 30,000 feet. Yesterday, flying back from L.A., sat next to a gal, and I'm not going to out her name or where she works, but she shared with me that 39% of college-age students, kids that are in college, are suffering from depression.
Mm-hmm. I would
39%.
I'm surprised it's not higher.
And she said 10 to 15% of people who are depressed, kids who are depressed, actually seek help from counselors or from medication or from both. And I'm flabbergasted by those numbers.
I'm not, because I know a lot of college-age students. I know a lot of high school-age students and junior high. And if the pandemic didn't push this along further, they were certainly on that way before. And anxiety and depression are two sort of, you know, sides of one
flip
coin.
Flip sides of the same coin,
exactly.
Yes.
So it's not just that they're all depressed. Anxiety has a lot to do with it,
right.
You know, social pressures and pressure that they put on themselves. And it's all one big cesspool, so to speak. In fact, today, the Biden administration unveiled new guidance for resources to help school staff support childhood and adolescent mental health. We're talking about, you know, their emotional and their social behavior. The updated guidance is like having them attend a class, having them get help and have mental health advocates available to them during school. And obviously, I have 3 kids that are in this age group. I'm fascinated, and all their friends that I consider my own children. I love them all. So I wanted to check in with Dr. Sheila Sweeney. Dr. Sweeney is a frequent guest on the show. She's an independent clinician and mental health expert. I know she specializes in trauma, but also she can shed light on how this is affecting our kids and what we can do. Dr. Sweeney, we're so happy to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Doc, are you surprised that Paul's stat, that 30-something percent are diagnosed with depression or anxiety?
I am not surprised. I am actually, and I want to be careful how I say that. When I hear the diagnosed as, that makes me happy, meaning that people are talking to someone formally, you know, and knowing what's going on with their status versus just not knowing, because when we don't know, some of those emotions and some of those things that are attached to depression and anxiety, they manifest themselves in the other things in our bodies or in our reactions. And that becomes dangerous when we don't know why we're reacting a certain way. So the diagnosis part makes me happy, meaning that they have talked to someone, they are talking to someone in order for them to collect those type of stats. But again, it's never a great thing, meaning if someone's suffering from that or, you know, moving through the process of having those things and symptomology that connect to those two diagnoses, that's never a good place for them to be in. But I always say it's a better place than not knowing,
yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Dr. Sweeney, there's always fear of the unknown. I mean, to be alive is to live with stress. I mean, all of us are stressed by different things. But how has the pandemic changed the equation, especially for our kids?
Yes. The pandemic has, I believe, and this is just my personal opinion, it has added like years of stress onto a person's life. It has added a ton more of overwhelming things onto one's psyche that one hadn't thought about or had to think about or hold space to think about before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, holding one's breath, like literally and figuratively during the pandemic, not knowing what was going to happen, Moving back into things that felt like I want to do things as normal as possible because this doesn't feel normal to me, had people really kind of more in a panic mode outside of just going through the stressors of the pandemic as if that wasn't enough. But also, am I going to ever see my friends again? Am I ever going to, you know, be connected to my loved ones? Like, those kinds of things have added a lot to the plate of everyone. And then to add for the kids who were quickly kind of made to be at home and be educated, you know, at home, and they were whisked out of their social connections. They were whisked out of their emotional connections. When kids go to school to not only learn and get their education, they also go to school to learn social emotional tools and how to react and act in certain situations with friendships in the classroom with other adults asking for help. So a lot of those skills happen during schools, and all of a sudden kids were not having that, you know, and so and that's for younger kids and kids in college. So everyone had to make adjustments, and then parents had to be educators as well. And that just, you know, for a lot of parents and children, that just didn't set well with each other because it disrupted the equilibrium that people are used to with doing the things that they, you know, that we've grown up to know that we're going to do. We're going to go through school during certain formative years of our lives. Yeah. And I hope all of that made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes. So, I mean, when I hear about high rates of mental illness today, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's the social media. It's the social media. Well, now we know it's not just the social media. Yes, mm-hmm. that's part of mm-hmm. it. But these kids also had the pandemic lopped on top of that. So it's this double whammy of crap that they now have yes. to deal with. So let's talk about the problem that we have at hand. If somebody's listening and they have a kid who they think is suffering, or what are some red flags that a child, a, you know, high schooler, a teenager, or whatever, is suffering from mental illness?
Yeah, so I would say there are some things, as I call, normal adolescent acting out behavior, right? And most parents do not like that, but we talk about how it's necessary, and we talk about how you want your children to go through this now because you don't want them to be in their 30s and 40s and show you these same behaviors that.
Oh, shoot. Okay, sorry. We just got disconnected. We apologize. Sometimes the phones go a little wonky.
Oh.
But I mean, just to talk about what she said, I've learned living through trauma, whether it be divorce or cancer, if you don't deal with the emotions that come up, they come to bite you back in the butt years later.
Right.
So that's the point she was trying to make, that if these kids are suffering now, the problem should be addressed now, so they're not 30-year-olds, or you don't have a failure to launch, or you don't have social anxieties happening in 10 years from now when it could have been dealt with right now when they're 13, 15, 19.
Nip it in the bud.
Exactly.
Do it now.
That's exactly right.
So there aren't echoes of this 5, right. 10, 20 years from now.
Because if you don't deal with it now, it will come for you. It's like mental health karma. It will come for you at some point. It's just about when. Dr. Sweeney, sorry we got disconnected. You back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. So we were talking about dealing with issues right now instead of kicking the can down the road.
Yes. So as I was sharing that thought is that, again, we want to deal with what's normal now. So there will be some acting out things. There will be some, children expressing anger, sadness, you know, some emotional things that need attention and that they need to help. They need a thought regulator. They need a person to help them regulate their emotions. Now, what we want to pay attention to is when those emotions seem different than what their norm is. So we know our children. So if it seems like, you know, they're in their room a lot more. So if they're in their room, like, most of the time, but they're in there like double the time now. So that's something that we want to like pay attention to. If you are noticing that they're isolating a lot more, if you're noticing their emotions are just in a different place than before, maybe they were talking, maybe they were coming down to dinner, but now they're not, they're skipping dinner, you know, those kind of things. And now some of it's normal, because some of them will want to do this more socially with their friends. But some of it is like when you're thinking, okay, I know that my child does this, but this is amped up a little bit more. If you see more increasing, you know, bouts of sadness, if you see, you know, if you notice that they are cutting or doing things like that, like they're harming themselves in ways that you're not familiar with, or it's just not something that it's, let me say this, if it's new behavior, you want to ask them about it. And then, you know, just ask and offer support. Some young people will not go with the support the first, second, or 10th time that you offer it. But knowing that you're there, if they do need to come and talk to you, that's always an intervention. Knowing, okay, my parent did say that if I needed to talk about something, they're there, even if they don't take you up on it in that moment. It's knowing that there's an adult on the other side that cares and that wants to talk about it and that it's okay to talk about it. Versus if we say it's not okay to be angry, even if we don't say those words, but we actually do actions that, you know, move a child to saying, get over it, or you're not supposed to be angry. You're supposed to be jolly and happy. And we know that that's really not true. Anger is a real emotion and it's a real part of life. But what we should be teaching is what to do with the anger, right? So if you feel angry, it's okay. But when it's in our bodies, how do we discharge the anger? We can't get over it because all they're going to do is stuff it and it's going to come out in a different way. But what we want to do is teach the hows and have a plan on processing and having a plan for what we're going to do with that anger. And if a child lashes out, so you might see that lashing out, if they're moving into mental health, let me say this. For a child, depression doesn't always look like sadness or crying. For children, it looks like my stomach hurts. It looks like I don't want to go to school today. It looks like anger, and it looks like frequent fights sometimes. That's what depression and anxiety sometimes look like when it feels dysregulating in a child's body.
Dr. Sweeney, we only have about 30 seconds left.
I think
older listeners may have a sense of perspective. They've been through other major disruptions perhaps in their lifetime. I think younger people, maybe the pandemic is even more magnified, although certainly it's been a showstopper for everyone. I keep hearing, where do we get those 2 years back? And, you know, for younger people who've not been able to see their friends and do the things that they normally do, go to the places they normally go, it feels like a loss. It feels like so many people of all ages are in mourning right now, mourning what could have been, what should have been. Is the most important thing we can do as parents and grandparents, is the most important thing we can do is to listen?
Listen, give grace, and hold space for more when more wants to come out.
Hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you for leaving us with that, because we want to know what to do. We want to help. Listen, give grace, and give space for more when more wants to come out. Dr. Sheila Sweeney, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me in St. Paul, in the Rondo community, Summit University on Selby Avenue, and online at drsheilasweeney.com.
We will call on you again. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.